CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The very important Apple that I depend upon, that we all depend upon, especially for the iPhone, I'm looking at Apple products in all directions. It's led nobly by Tim Cook, except a headline that is surprising because it seems to be a turn in the road for Apple and for American business. The headline is Apple's Tim Cook signed $275 billion deal with Chinese officials to placate China. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is with me. And we've puzzled through this, so we need another voice. We welcome Jonathan Ward, who is the author of China's Vision of Victory. Jonathan, a very good evening to you. The word placate got my attention. What is the reasoning behind this headline, and what does it mean for U.S. consumers and China's Communist Party? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's great to be back. Well, this is a very important moment, I think. I mean, this report has just been released and obviously will be scrutinized and we'll see what's true about it. But the bottom line is it shows us really how deep American companies have gone into the China market. At the end of the day, I mean, we have to start this conversation now in America about what our companies are doing in our primary strategic adversary and how this harms the U.S. national interest. And an iconic brand like Apple, which we all know is, you know, tied to China through supply chains and through their, you know, large consumer market in China, has apparently gone on to sign a deal with China, you know, 5 years ago with the value of $275 billion to help build the Chinese economy, train Chinese talent, and you know, improve their capacity and technology. And in the meantime, they also invested in Chinese competitors to American companies in the market. There have been, you know, sort of security cooperation with the Chinese authorities, and even I'm told sort of placation when it comes to Apple Maps and Chinese territorial claims. So you're talking about the deal that our companies, you know, are sometimes forced to make to be in the China market is. You know, it used to be technology transfer for market access, but it seems that it's grown in terms of what needs to be given away and how, you know, companies need to basically toe the party line. And this isn't just true of Apple. I mean, it's true of many, many iconic American companies. You know, Nike's CEO said just this summer that we are a brand of China and for China. You know, so this idea that you're going to go and be in essentially a totalitarian country and adhere to its values, to the values of the Communist Party of China, is a serious problem for the United States and the U.S. consumer and for the companies and their shareholders themselves. Because in a time of intense U.S.-China competition, seeing our primary adversary as, you know, your number one or two market is going to be, I think, lead to some massive problems for many CEOs.
Gordon, were you surprised by this report, or is it in keeping with what you've been observing for some time?
I was surprised in one sense, John, and that was this deal was signed in 2016 and it was kept secret. Now, we know that China has been pressuring American companies, as Jonathan just said, to transfer technology, also to express support for China's geopolitical positions. But what took me aback was that the extent of this cooperation between Apple and Beijing, this is something that we have not seen before. And it does, as Jonathan said, trigger a conversation on the proper role of American business in a totalitarian state.
You have a question for Jonathan, Gordon.
Jonathan, Apple has been lobbying very vigorously for against the Uyghur Slave Labor Act of Senator Marco Rubio. It seems that this is really going to offend American values because what they're saying is that products made with forced or slave labor should be allowed into the U.S. What are your comments about this? Because it seems like Apple is now effectively an agent of a hostile government.
I think the situation here, you know, Gordon, is that China's genocide has become the world's supply chain. And this is something that we have to stop. I mean, there's an Australian security think tank last year that reported that about 80 companies were tied into the Xinjiang forced labor situation. That included Apple, you know, Nike, Adidas, Calvin Klein, L.L. Bean, even technology companies like Dell and Microsoft. So, you know, as our companies have gone and built businesses in China for the past 30 years, thinking essentially very little of geopolitical risk, they've now wound up tied into some of the worst abuses that we've seen in the 21st century. And, you know, the other side of it, of course, is many of them are tied into Chinese civil military fusion, the idea that you're going to bring private sector innovation and turn that into military advantage for the CCP. I mean, if you're a technology company in China, there's no doubt that some of what you're doing to improve their R&D, to improve their advanced industries and emerging technologies will wind up utilized against the United States by the Chinese military. So companies also have that problem. So, you know, the lobbying against something as clear-cut as forced labor is just something that deserves, I think, public attention. I mean, people shouldn't be doing that. That's not, I think, the right use of Apple's resources in Washington. What you really need, in my view, is for our companies to remember the role that many of them have played in American history, which is, you know, how did we have the arsenal of democracy in the Second World War? It was American companies that helped us win the Second World War. So getting onto the right side of history, I think, is essential for today's CEOs. And my concern is that they've been so busy with this, you know, with the billion-person market, this idea, and many of their markets are growing in China, but at the end of that road are some serious catastrophes, I think. We need them to come back to the side of the U.S. national interest and to help us build a grand strategy that can win against China in all sorts of global markets. And right now we're seeing examples every day of things like Apple, like Disney, like Nike, many of our investment banks as well, that are clearly pulling for the opposite side of the U.S. national interest. That's very bad and very dangerous.
Jonathan, one reading of headlines is that the Chinese economy is fragile. And an example would be Evergrande's imminent or already failed environment. Already failed. I don't know. It looks like they're nationalizing. That suggests to me that China is not dealing with a strong hand. Is that a factor going forward, that this is not the great big inevitable superpower it was just 5 years ago?
John, I think that, you know, China without U.S. economic engagement starts to stall very quickly. You know, they cannot achieve China's vision of victory. You know, they can't get there without our capital, our technology, and our markets to sell to. So, and this is again why our companies are so important, because if they become an intermediary that's essentially, you know, if you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars or tens of billions of dollars of investment into China, that's part of what's propping it up, even though they have these structural issues like a housing bubble that's said to be the biggest, you know, asset bubble in the world. So, you know, as the CCP contends with the collapse at Evergrande and tries to mitigate that, I think Wall Street is going to get a serious lesson. I mean, they learned a lesson around Didi Chuxing when that IPO was pulled back. They've seen what's happened to Alibaba after Jack Ma's sort of disappearance. I mean, that share has crashed, pretty substantially. And here with Evergrande, I mean, you're starting to look at this. This is not the risk-free, high-growth investment that I think most people have thought it would be. So the other side of the coin is not just the U.S. sort of non-financial corporations, but, Wall Street sentiment that says, let's go and engage in this market. It's the fastest growing market. I mean, JP Morgan Asset Management, said this year that one of the biggest portfolio trends over the next decade is going to be the growth of Chinese onshore assets and global portfolios. I mean, so Wall Street is in on this too. And it's very bad. We've got to start to pull that back, realize that the risks are way higher than people are accounting for, and get ready to invest in our own national grand strategy to take on this geopolitical challenge, which we can't do without our CEOs and investment banks. So there's a lot of turning of the aircraft carrier that needs to happen here. The national security aircraft carrier has turned. I think the congressional aircraft carrier has turned. But the private sector piece of American power needs to turn to the right side of history.
We have less than a minute, Gordon. A question.
Jonathan, what can President Biden do about the Apple deal or future Apple deals?
Well, I think you have to start putting restrictions on investment into China. I mean, anything that goes into human rights abuses, anything that goes into civil military fusion, and anything that goes into pure industrial and technological capacity and know-how, I mean, that has to be blocked. If you had an outbound CFIUS, for example, rather than just screening what comes in, screening the investment that's coming from U.S. entities into a primary adversary like this, I mean, that could be very powerful and very important. And in the meantime, I would convene America's CEOs and have them at the White House working on the U.S. grand strategy and giving them a clear understanding of what's at stake with this contest with China. They should not be hiding from this anymore. At this point, the horse has left the barn in terms of what I think America understands China to be, which is a strategic rival. And we need our Wall Street executives and our CEOs to understand that very clearly so that they can help us win and not simply wind up on the wrong end of a major conflict.
Jonathan Ward is author of China's Vision of Victory. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.